Good morning. Have you ever had someone that you view as maybe an important person, someone you look up to in some way, acknowledge you or give you of their time, give you their attention? Maybe as a young person, it's just an adult that you really look up to, and they actually show that they care about you and what you think, and they give you their full attention and so forth. Or maybe as an adult in the workplace, it's your boss's boss or the president of the company or somebody that acknowledges you. How does that make you feel? You recognize that this person is important and their time is very limited, they're very busy, and yet they've taken the time to actually give you their full undivided attention. It might make you feel special in some way. Or maybe it was the President of the United States, maybe not the current one, but another one, that you actually appreciated them, something like that. It could make you feel special, maybe even a bit undeserving of the attention that they've given you. So how does it make you feel when you recognize the fact that you have the attention and consideration of God Almighty, who created this earth, the entire universe? You might be impressed if an important person, say somebody higher up in the company, comes through and remembers your name. But the God that created all of this knows the very number of hairs on your head, diminishing though they may be. God is aware of every detail about us. And think about the fact, if you wanted to, could you just call up somebody that you consider important? If you just wanted to dial up the president on the phone and talk to him, could you do that? Well, most of us probably not. But with God, any time that you want, he's ready to listen to you. He gives you his full attention, his full consideration, as we can pray to him anytime we want. And so, on the one hand, it might make us feel a little more important, but certainly it's an humbling feeling to recognize that the God of the universe is paying attention to me. Because as much as I might think of myself, I'm pretty insignificant in consideration of all that. And so, this morning, what I want to consider with you is this quote from Psalm chapter 8 that says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" As we begin, let's turn to Psalm chapter 8. We'll go ahead and read the entire psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. So together this morning, let us consider some answers to that question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? First of all, as we can see from this passage itself in verse 6, we are God's creation. We are his masterpiece. And in verse 6, we can see that he has given us dominion over the rest of creation. And so out of all the things that God created, he has put us in the most preeminent position, that we have dominion over all the things of this physical world that we live in, over all the beasts of the field, over all the fowls of the air and fishes of the sea. And so we can see that in God's creation, man holds a special, important place. In Genesis chapter 1, in verses 26 and 27, We can see one thing in particular that makes man a very special part of God's creation. And that is the fact that we were created in God's image. We are the only part of God's creation that this is said about. We are special in this way. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. It's a special thing to be created in the image of God. That we have this soul within us. That we have this eternal, in that sense, portion of ourselves. That what is really me is not the body that you see. It's this spirit within me that will live on. And so we are special. And we have the ability to make choices, free moral agency. These things that make us very special and very different from the rest of creation. And so because God created us in his own image, he holds us in a certain regard and esteem. Psalm 139 in verse 14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." So here, our soul is a special part of that creation, but also just consider the human body that we live in during our time here on earth. It is truly an amazing thing that God has created. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. When you think about all the wonders of the human body and how it works and the things it does, it's amazing that God put that much attention and detail into that. And so I am special in that way. And then perhaps a little bit like an artist and the art he creates, we might be able to relate to how God would feel as creator toward his creation. Perhaps something like that is the closest we as mankind can come to creating something. Even that's not true complete creation because it's all coming from things that we see and know. But you have a special bond between yourself and something that you make with your own hands. And so we are special to God in that way as well. But beyond being his creation, we are also described as God's peculiar people, a peculiar treasure unto him, and in that sense, a valued possession of God. Let's look at just a few verses quickly. Exodus 19 and verse 5. "Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Psalm 135 and verse 4. "For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself and Israel for his peculiar treasure." So we know that the Israelites were God's chosen people in the Old Testament, and the light thereunto is us as Christians in this age, that we are God's special chosen treasure. In the New Testament, in the book of Titus, chapter 2 and verse 14, speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." And lastly on this point, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And so we are that special, chosen, unique possession of God. Well, when we think about our possessions and our treasures, the thing we think about is value. It's a very prevalent thing in our minds today. You think about popular television shows that really key on this, whether it's Antiques Roadshow, Pawn Stars, on and on, Storage Wars. part of it's about just, you know, finding that treasure that's hidden or that someone doesn't expect. But it all hinges on what's the value of things. And oftentimes, you don't know what the value of it is because value depends on what somebody else is willing to pay for something. It might have a different value to me. It might be junk to me. But if somebody is a collector of it or needs it in some way, they might be willing to pay a lot more for it. And so value is different to different people. And what someone is willing to pay shows how much they value something. And so when we think about the question, what is man that thou art mindful of him? What price did God pay for us? We are bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20. Therefore, glorify God in our bodies and our spirit, which are God's. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So we see the price that God paid for mankind in giving the blood of his only begotten Son. So you can see how much God values man. This tells us a little bit about what is man, that God would be mindful of us, that we are that valuable to him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. In Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God gave his only begotten Son for us, and we are totally undeserving of it. We were completely lost in sin, and yet he was willing to pay that price for us. We have also been chosen by God for some particular purposes. Really, overall, we've been chosen by God for glory. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and verse 9, speaking of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. This was God's eternal purpose, that he would be able to redeem us and to bring us to live with him in heaven for eternity. Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So before God even enacted the creation, God knew what his plan was. His plan was to sacrifice his Son to be able to redeem us and to bring us to live with him in heaven. In that sense, God has purposed us for adoption in Galatians chapter 4. Let's read the first seven verses there. Galatians 4, 1 through 7. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. But he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So God purposed, before all this began, that he would adopt us as his children, and therefore we would receive an inheritance from him. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So again, verse 4, he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, and verse 5, predestinated us to the adoption of children. So to the same point as before, that God has planned for us to be his adopted children, to spend eternity with him in heaven. Besides that, in this life, we are also chosen for a particular purpose. As the faithful, we are chosen by God as instruments of righteousness. In Romans chapter 6, Romans 6 and verse 13 says, "Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." So in this life, we are to serve him. We are his instruments in this world to carry out the things that he wants done. Romans 12 and verse 1. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So this is what God expects of us, that we would spend our lives in service to him, our lives or our bodies as a living sacrifice. We are to go about doing his will in this life. We are as, I'm sorry, one more passage, 1 Peter chapter 4. Sorry, 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. "To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." So Christ himself was chosen as the chief cornerstone. We are chosen as living stones, built up as part of that spiritual house to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. And so that is part of our duty and part of our calling in this life. As Christians, we are to be productive and fruitful. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 tells us, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Matthew 7:19 tells us that every tree that does not bring forth good fruit should be hewn down and cast into the fire. And so we have an obligation, a responsibility. We've been chosen by God for this purpose, to be fruitful, abounding to good works, serving as instruments of righteousness for God in this life. So these are some of the reasons why God might be mindful of us. He values us. He has a purpose for us. And ultimately, he wants to spend eternity with us in heaven. When I consider these things, how much God values me, what God has done for me, it engenders in me a sense of humility and undeservedness. Because in no way am I deserving of the great sacrifice and the great price that was paid for me. But it also should give us a certain measure of self-esteem to recognize that man is important to God. That really, mankind is the entire reason for the creation of the universe in which we live. Because God wanted me to spend eternity in heaven with him is why he created the heavens and the earth. We don't just happen to be here and be part of that creation. We're really the purpose for it. And so that also is humbling. But just in case we might take this too far and think too highly of man, to think too highly of ourselves, let's consider just a few verses together to counterbalance that. In Romans 12 and verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So I think we should recognize that man is important and that God has done a lot for man and paid a high price for us. He values us. But don't think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Recognize your faults, your shortcomings. Recognize that it's only through God's grace that you can even stand before Him. Luke 17:10 is one I always come back to. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all the things which are commanded you, which I would say we never accomplish, but when you have done everything that God has told you to do, say, we are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. So we can never do more than that which is our duty to do. And indeed, we actually fall short. And so in no way can we ever consider that we have earned salvation. It's only through the grace of God. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So then a few words in conclusion. The mankind is really the focal point of God's creation, the purpose for it all. That we might choose to love and serve God of our own free will, that God might then adopt us into His family and spend eternity together. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. And then verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And then lastly, in Hebrews chapter 2, let's read the first 10 verses there together. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first begun to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. For unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man, that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. So you see here that same reference that we found from Psalm chapter 8. And we see it that everything is under our subjection, with the exception of we haven't conquered death yet, but Christ has. Christ was also made to come in the flesh as a man to suffer death, that he might then himself be crowned with glory and honor, but that he might bring many sons unto glory, verse 10. So that is that adoption of sons that has been accomplished through the sacrifice of Christ. So we have the opportunity to live as children of God, and therefore to live eternally with God. A high price is paid for us. God values us greatly. How much value do you place on the sacrifice that was made on your behalf? If you are a Christian and you have not lived as you should, and we can help you in some way, or if you have not yet named the name of Christ in submitting to His will and become a Christian, we'd encourage you to come forward this morning and make your needs known as we stand and as we sing.